Well, this morning I asked the kids what they would like to be when they grow up. And it's a question that we often ask of children. And they provide answers as they did this morning, like police officer, firefighter, doctor, lawyer, paleontologist, the list goes on. And as we all know, the answer to that particular question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, it changes. As children actually grow up, the answers they provide change, becoming more varied and sometimes very vague in general. And sometimes it appears that they don't actually want to grow up, never mind what they want to be when they grow up. And ask this same question of an adult, and you may get some other insightful answers. Some adults who are doing something now that they are grown, they acknowledge that it isn't what they want to be doing or what they wanted to be doing. And others will admit coyly that they haven't grown up yet. What I find most interesting about this question of what would you like to be when you grow up is that 9 times out of 10, we associate the answer with a profession. It's rare to have this question answered in a fashion where the response is to be a good person or to be someone who will make a difference in the world. And yet the children this morning, when they were shown options like kind and helpful and compassionate, all acknowledged that that is something they would like to be when they grow up. But we don't think that way in terms of profession and calling. But our message that we get from Matthew in that passage this morning, it raises 2 fundamental questions. Who are we? What are we to do? Jesus tells us that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Note that Jesus does not say we will become salt or that we will become light by virtue of being disciples. He tells us that each of us is salt, each of us is light. It is not about who or what we will become, it is about who we already are. There is no additional need to become anything else. There are no ranks to climb. You are a disciple, a follower of Christ. You are salt and light. And now that you know what you are, the real question we need to address is, what are we to do? And I think our passage makes that abundantly clear. Salt has a purpose. It makes food tastier, and it is used to preserve food. We might otherwise say that salt makes and keeps things good. And a light which is hidden, is useless. Why have a light if you are going to hide it? We are light. And we are called to share the goodness of our light with others. One of the scary aspects of light is that in order for light to be seen, you need to go where the darkness is. And there is a very literal aspect to this. Lighting a candle outside in daylight does not do much good. But at night, it is a different story. Annie Dillard writes, "You do not have to sit outside in the dark. If, however, you want to look at the stars, you will find that darkness is necessary." Years ago, I led a youth retreat, and at the end of a night walk where the youth were blindfolded and only had a rope to guide them, after removing the blindfold, they were given a candle. They were not given any matches or a lighter. nor was the candle lit for them. Instead, they were to go out in pairs and look for the light. One of the other leaders was out in the wilderness with a lit candle. And the young people had to find him and then light their own candles. And as each pair found him, the source of light, its brightness and intensity would grow. If you want your light to be seen, you need to be willing to go out into the dark. And sometimes that is being out at night, and sometimes it means venturing into uncomfortable areas, talking about difficult subjects, helping people who have fallen on hard times, sharing and loving with people, being compassionate towards them, even when it is difficult to do so. We need to take our light to them, to allow our love to shine through. We do this because it points people not to our own goodness, but that through our good works they might see God. Archbishop William Temple is often quoted as saying, "The church is the only organization on earth that exists for those who are not its members." Yes, we are here for one another, to love one another in this community of faith, but our primary calling is to serve everyone who is outside of those doors, to love them, even if they won't love us back, even if they don't want to be loved. In all of this discussion about salt and light, Jesus is reframing the way the disciples were to understand the law. The discussion about salt and light is a reference to the law. It served as a criticism towards the temple culture, which paid lip service to the law, but didn't really live it out. And what good is a law if you just use it to justify your own actions? What good is that law if you aren't helping others through it? You've lost your salt. You've hidden your light, if that is the case. And Jesus tells the disciples he isn't there to teach them something new. Instead, he has come to fulfill the law and to remind people of the law's intended purpose, which is to care for others and point towards God's care for us. And when we look at Scripture, especially when we look at the Gospels, we like to paint the Pharisees as bad guys. However, the words of Jesus demonstrate that this isn't necessarily so. The problem with the Pharisees is that they enforced the letter of the law but didn't always live it out faithfully themselves, or that their interpretation fell short, which is why Jesus came. And Jesus reframes the way we are to understand the law. We view the Pharisees as bad guys because they were part of the temple establishment, which ultimately led to the death of Jesus. However, what is clear from our passage this morning is that Jesus holds the Pharisees as the minimum standard for what the kingdom of heaven is about. Jesus reminds us that he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. And he says, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, what does that look like? If we accept that we are already salt and light, then how do we live it out? How do we bring our light into the world? Preacher and writer Eugene Peterson was once asked what he would say if he were writing what he knew would be his very last sermon. Peterson replied, "I think I would want to talk about things that are immediate and ordinary. In the kind of world we live in, The primary way that I can get people to be aware of God is to say, who are you going to have breakfast with tomorrow? And how are you going to treat that person? Peterson suggests that we need to stop thinking that being a Christian means always being part of only obvious religious contexts. We need to pay attention to what the people around us are doing most every day, and then help them do it in ways that glorify God. So Peterson says, in my last sermon, I guess I'd want to say, go home and be good to your spouse. Treat your children with respect. Do a good job at work. We need to be salt in the real world, and that involves genuinely being with real people, listening to them well, and treating them as the little images of God that they all are. We live in a society where it is easy to act out, easy to only care about ourselves. Being salt and light in the world requires us to do things a little bit differently. And on the surface, doing these ordinary things may not seem earth-shattering, but they add up, and they make all the difference in the world. Amen.